I am having a difficult time knowing where exactly to get started with covering the Iran conflict because so much has happened. It's only been a few days. It did not take very long at all for things to go badly for us. The first thing that I want to point out, because it's really, really important to remember this, is that we would be here under Kamala Harris too. Kamala Harris also said, if anything, Kamala Harris campaigned on the idea that Donald Trump would be too light on Iran. She was openly aggressive towards them like competing with Trump over like who will be more soft on foreign dictators. It was not great. We still have Democratic leaders right now who are here.
Invoke the War Powers Act, which would give the president 30 days to terminate the operation, except for activities defending the state of Israel, which is critical to our reliance and alliance on Israel.
Senator Jack Reed, I do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Senator Jack Reed.
Definitely not a zombie.
Mouth's not even moving. What the f? Yeah, well, we're led by demons. We're in it. Democrats won't rule out giving Trump more money for Middle East war. Democrats will have to balance a desire to criticize Trump's offensive in Iran with pressure to support funding to defend the nation now at war. From Senator Elissa Slotkin, the former CIA agent who was pitched as a future Democratic leader, some Democrats aren't ruling out voting for a multi-billion-dollar military infusion, setting a potential internal clash in the weeks ahead for a party whose political base is aghast at Trump's aggression against Iran. The White House is reportedly mulling a $50 billion ask. Yeah. Middle Eastern CIA agent too? Yep. Yes, sir. Slotkin is the one who got bodied by Crystal a while back? Yes. The amount of money being tossed around is insane to keep up with. The funny thing is, as bad as it is right now, and how much, and considering how much money is being thrown around, we are actually doing incredibly badly right now. So I want to try to like summarize what's been happening. The gist of it is that we are attempting to level Tehran. We have no strategic goals. We are just trying to do as much damage as we can. And that's because, again, there's not really a point to this war. We're just here to kill people. Israel wants death. We want death. You know, we want to enact the end times, right? There's no real strategy here. It doesn't. Keep in mind the stated goal of this war was to do regime change. We've already killed their leadership. So to what extent do you think indiscriminately bombing civilian sites in Tehran endears the population towards us? Probably not too much, would be my opinion. So we're just causing death for death's sake. The initial plan, the initial idea was that we were only going to be doing this for at most like a week or two. Now the Pentagon is saying that they are going to be in it until September, which is more than a couple of weeks. So yeah, we've gone from a decapitation strike to war forever. Now, in spite of us pushing for war forever, we are actually already almost out of ammunition. kind of. It's a little more complicated than that. The gist of it is that Iran has engaged in a very effective strategy. They've been stockpiling missiles for a while, and Iran is aware of the fact that they have no chance at all of actually beating us and Israel in a straight-up fight. Obviously, we're the United States and Israel. Now, what Iran can do is make warring with them extremely inconvenient by indiscriminately lobbing missiles everywhere. They've been firing at US bases in the Middle East. They've been firing at Dubai. The Dubai one is particularly funny because every time we do something to Iran, they respond by bombing Dubai. America strikes Tehran, we're firing missiles at Dubai. Israel strikes Tehran, we're firing missiles at Dubai. It's a good strategy, both, you know, like militarily and morally, I think. Extremely uncritical support. The problem is that, as you might know, one of the main things you might remember about America is that we don't build anything here anymore, including weapons. Despite the Pentagon's budget, very little of it actually goes towards defense procurement. We would rather spend our money on extremely top-of-the-line, high-tech, fancy-pantsy planes and fighter jets and so on than restocking the classics, you know, ammunition, missiles, and critically, interceptors, because interceptors are very expensive compared to what they're meant to intercept. Every Iron Dome interceptor is orders of magnitude more expensive than what they're meant to intercept. It is always more difficult to build a missile that is meant to hit another missile than to have built the initial missile. You know, U.S. weapons stockpiles, particularly cruise missiles, are being depleted amid the conflict with Iran. In the past 3 days, roughly 400 Tomahawk missiles have been expended, equivalent to about 5 years' supply. This might raise some questions in your mind. Why is 5 years of supply for the United States of America 400 Tomahawk missiles? Don't get me wrong, Tomahawk missiles are expensive, but really? 5 years supply for the United States? Really? The Pentagon's preparing roughly $50 billion supplemental budget requests to replenish inventories and expand production of key weapons such as Tomahawk missiles. Trump is set to meet with major defense contractors, including Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. And here's why it's all happening. At the White House to massively accelerate weapons production. For instance, the White House intends to boost production of Tomahawks to a blistering rate of over 1,000 per year. Which means that if we went by the rate at which we've been using them so far in this conflict, we would deplete a year's supply in only like 2.5 weeks. Cool. No, I know. Yeah, 1,000 per year. Can you believe it? 1,000 per year. Incredible. I saw this one just before I went live. Justin, the Pentagon are in talks to buy Ukrainian-made interceptors to fend off attacks by Iranian drones. Ukrainian-made. Can you believe it, guys? It's coming back around. It's like when you save the spider and later the spider saves you. Actual North Korean moment, actual Russia moment. In the same way that Russia had to start plundering ammunition stockpiles in North Korea, Trump recently said that the situation with ammunition isn't so dire because we can start depleting our stocks of it around the world. He boasted about this as though this doesn't look really, 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 really bad. He said, "We're not out. We can start plundering the reserves we keep all over the world. You know, the emergency reserves that we keep in case of world war." I really can't believe how badly this is going. It seems like the people who started this operation either didn't know or didn't care what we had, like what we had in our stockpiles that would allow us to conduct this conflict. I don't really, there are many powers at play here. Trump had no idea at any point. He doesn't know anything about anything, of course. It is going remarkably poorly. White House leadership has basically given up referring to this as anything other than Israel's war.
To our steadfast partner, Israel, your mission is being executed with unmatched skill and iron determination. Your mission is being executed with unmatched skill and iron determination. Fighting shoulder to shoulder with such a capable ally is a true force multiplier and a breath of fresh air. We salute your courage and your contribution.
Bro thinks he's in a video game. I'm sorry, ma'am. Your son has died in Operation Epic Chungus. He took this L for the people of Israel. May he rest in Valhalla. Another thing is Ukraine is the only country that has the tech to defend against cheap drone swarms because of their war experience. What we're seeing really is the consequence of oligarchy and financialization, right? In the same way, Marx, not just Marx, by the way, this was observed upon, you know, this was observed by multiple economists, including to an extent Adam Smith, the tendency for the rate of profit to fall. There is no money in producing things anymore, you know? Money, it's like the Paramount Netflix WB acquisition. You don't make money by buying and selling things. You don't make money by producing something and then putting it out in the market. You make money by doing gay financial money magic that somehow explodes your wealth even though you haven't done anything. Like how every billionaire has gone in the past 10 years from being worth like $5 billion to $500 billion even though they literally haven't done anything other than talk to the press. That's how you make money these days. And since America is a bloated financial instrument with basically no domestic productive capabilities, we actually are getting productively mugged right now by countries that do keep their factories open, like Ukraine, or to an extent Russia, or like China. Yeah, China would destroy us in a war, 100%, and we deserve it, and we should lose, and they should take over us. Please, President Xi, fire the missiles. Bro, Russia's cooked right now, lol. Yeah, but I think what we're learning is that if America had been in Russia's place, we would have stalled out much faster than them, because at least they kept larger stockpiles of their ammunition. We're running low after using 400? 400 Tomahawks, and we're running low? Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ, at least Russia kept their warehouses open. If America was Russia, we would have emptied them and sold them to ICE. I have to wonder if Trump even had a plan for the duration of this before he started it. Trump was pitched on this being a simple decapitation strike. I guarantee you. He was told that this would be another sweet, quick victory like Venezuela, and is probably baffled at how things are playing out. now we need to transition our rhetoric into this, like, well, you know, we're ready to prolong this for any length of time we need to because we can. And don't get me wrong, this will be used to justify ungodly amounts of funding being directed towards the MIC, or at least they'll try to. The official justification for the attack on Iran has been, like, wavering. When they want to aura farm, they call it a war. When they don't, because officially, legally, it's not a war because Congress hasn't declared a war. We're basically relying on feelings over facts rhetoric for why we declared it in the first place, now that we're no longer engaging in a decapitation strike, because if we were, we would have stopped already.
The president had a feeling, again, based on fact, that Iran was going to strike the United States, was going to strike our assets in the region, and he made a determination to launch Operation Epic Fury based on all of those reasons. And
he had a feeling. He had a feeling, guys. The basic gist of it is that Trump was sold on this being a quick victory, but he was lied to. The real reason we're at war right now is because Israel wants it. Israel wants it because they want death. They just want bloodshed. It's the only way their economy and their political system can stay afloat. I know it's kind of an over-discussed talking point, but the only reason that Netanyahu himself isn't in jail is because of October 7th, right? He was, under continuous for years and years and years, open corruption. He's been under investigation. And now every time a hearing comes up, the judge just delays it further and further because we're, they're at war. They're at permanent war. Hamas did save Netanyahu. And we have the Epstein files over here. So we have bloated pedophilic upper crusts in both countries that are united in their desire to kill lots and lots of brown people and direct tons of money towards themselves and their friends. It's the only way to keep the coalitions together. This administration needs permanent war. We are without a doubt, unambiguously, the most evil set of countries on earth. And if any other sets or the silence and complicity of the rest of the world implicates them as well. Keir Starmer initially said that we would not be allowed to use his air bases for our attacks in Iran. And then he retracted that statement because he believes in nothing. It is completely spineless. Yeah, Merz, Chancellor Merz from Germany, has been largely supportive of what we've been doing in his own dickless way. Funnily enough, Spain said that we could not use their bases, and Trump said effectively, well, what if we raped your bases? What if we just did it anyway without asking? And then Trump threatened to embargo Spain, which isn't going to happen, but it's insane that he threatened to do that. Carney supported it, so disappointed. Yeah, unfortunately, Carney's problem is that America hasn't been fulfilling its promise of being the global hegemon. Carney's problem is not that America was the global hegemon. He's still a banker, you know? Yeah, still a neolib. Is there anything that I'm missing for the summary? I guess the point that I want to get across is that we're failing in large part because America has abandoned its own domestic manufacturing, and as a consequence, we can't even do basic things like fight wars anymore. The markets are crashing. The markets are not doing great right now. It's so bad, not even the MSMs really bothering to uphold the justification for the war. CNN just put out an article with the title, "The Rationale for Striking Iran Was Already a Mess. Trump Just Made It Worse." Of course, but like CNN does want the war with Iran. The mainstream media all wants it. Everyone's been waiting for this. This is what it means to be a Zionist, right? This is the whole point of the project. You're naive? Iran's closed the Strait of Hormuz. Trump has said he's going to send ships to personally escort, civilian ships moving through, which is insane, and we can't do that. It would be insanely expensive to do that. Yeah, traffic through the Strait of Hormuz has collapsed. Oil prices are going up right now. What about the American planes that got shut down? Oh yeah, apparently we lost 3 F-15s to friendly fire. Do I have that right? 3 F-15s? Yeah? Yeah, over Kuwait. Oil just hit $80 a barrel. Apparently, a Kuwaiti aircraft is the one suspected of downing them, which is really funny. God bless you, Kuwait, for your service on behalf of Iran. Three of them. You took down 3 F-15s. Really? Ace pilot. CENTCOM said on March 2nd, the American aircraft were mistakenly shot down by Kuwaiti air defenses, but did not say whether American fighters were shot down by surface-to-air or air-to-air systems. But people familiar with the episode said March 3rd that the surface-to-air fire is no longer the leading theory. Well, I'm sorry. Did the Kuwaiti pilot think that he was firing on Iranian F-15s over Kuwaiti airspace? That's so funny. It was just an oopsie. I'm not going to complain. The Iranians have been painting planes on the tarmac to trick the U.S. into bombing nothing. Oh, yes. How could I forget? The Department of War has been enthusiastically posting epic Chungus MLG hit scan comps of them hitting nothing. They've been posting drone strike footage of them hitting painted planes on the ground. I don't know if this particular compilation is going to have exactly what I was looking for, but there are a few really good videos circulating out there of published strikes that very obviously only hit painted targets. Was that Childish Gambino? I wouldn't know. This is so soy. Yep. Did that one naval hit with a submarine? Yes, we did sink an Iranian vessel, illegally sink an Iranian vessel in international waters and refused to even rescue any survivors. Yeah, it was coming back from a training exercise with India, I believe. That's what you're talking about. Well, this is a ChatGPT post from a blue check. But yeah, stuff to this effect. Iran has suffered a lot of damage over the course of the strikes, but Iran's also been preparing for this for years and years and years. Iran's a neighbor to Israel, right? They know that they have to hide their munitions, their launchers, and they've been stockpiling for ages. All they need to do is keep the pressure up, keep the temperature turned up. The ship we sunk was likely unarmed due to the rules of the naval exercise. Yes, we committed a war crime. We sank a ship. We did not rescue the survivors of the sinking of the ship. And then Pete Hegseth went on media and said that we're no longer fighting a politically correct war in response to it. Refusing to rescue them was such a demon move. Rescuing ship survivors is one of the oldest rules of engagement. Yep, even the Nazis would do it sometimes. I hope you all remember this for the rest of your lives. It's not just that we're stupid. We really are the most evil people around. And by we, of course, I mean like the Western, you know, the American Zionist hegemon. There's really no comparison. It's not just a matter of what we do or what we want to do. It's also what we're trying to do. We are the great Satan. Iran was correct. I don't think most people realize how populated Tehran is. It's bigger than Chicago, same size as London. Yep. Not that you'll ever, 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 ever see Western media talk about that. You only ever hear Iran referred to as some big, you know, homogenous entity of Islamists, as though the greater metropolitan area for Tehran, 17 million people. That's greater than LA County. They think Tehran is a bunch of mud huts in the desert. Yep. What about Iran apparently striking Turkey and Azerbaijan? I feel like it's false flags by Israel. Why wouldn't they? Turkey deserves it. Azerbaijan deserves it. As far as I'm concerned, Iran gets to bomb everyone who's an ally with America in any way, shape, or form. They can do whatever they want. The Pentagon released the video of the torpedo on the Iranian ship. Yes. Did Israel target the Saudi oil fields? I wish they would more. Man, it's bad out there. Iran does have a right to self-defense. We're basically just like picking on little anecdotes here, but I guess the gist of it is that things are falling apart. I don't know. The Western hegemony worked as a system as long as it was built on assumptions and beliefs and arguments made internally among the ruling class of the, you know, of the West that made sense. Right? They were always greedy. They were always evil. They were probably always pedophiles. None of those things have changed, but they have grown greedier and more arrogant because they no longer feel the need to pretend. You know, wealthy people used to pretend to be civilized. Now they don't have to. They can just tweet every inane thought that travels through their empty head. And we know they're evil and we know they're pedophiles and we know that they want the world to end so they can live in a doomsday bunker as one of the few thousand remaining people. And they don't care, right? We know what they're like and they don't care. And they've grown more arrogant and now their decision-making inevitably has begun to fall apart. The same thing happened with Nazi Germany. Whenever you have irrationally high acquisition of resources in the hands of a smaller and smaller cabal of people, they get more and more in their head. They're less capable of making good decisions. And then inevitably it falls apart. Deadass, going from wanting to help in the change against neoliberalism to pure nihilism, what the f*** do we do, man? Well, I think that nihilism is the big threat coming up because the people, like, what we're dealing with right now is just an extension of the power dynamic that has been established under neoliberalism. The difference between now and 40 years ago was not a difference in, like, how fascistic we've become. That's just a justification mechanism. The real difference is that even though we used to be warmongering capitalists, we at least believed in maintaining the frameworks that allowed society to survive, right? You still believed in underlying, like Eisenhower, Truman, these people were evil, but they understood there was a foundation that had to be maintained. The people nowadays, the neoliberals, they don't believe in that. No foundation needs to be maintained. You don't need regulations. You don't even need states. All you need are infinitely powerful multinational corporations and the militaries that back them, right? We are trending more and more towards like pure corporatocracy. And that's a consequence of decisions that have been made in America that are bipartisan. Reagan and Clinton and Bush and Obama, it's all been trending in this direction, you know, from like Glass-Steagall to refusing to punish any of the bankers who were responsible for the 2008 subprime mortgage crash. We have been leading now to this point and we're here. And rather than them doing like what they want is to control everything. But unfortunately, what we're now arriving at is, I guess, this, right? We're arriving at a world where they want everything. They already have everything, basically, but they're too stupid and self-absorbed to get over the final hurdle. And they're not going to, by the way. They're not going to succeed. There's no world in which the surveillance tech they're pushing for, or the income inequality they're trying to exacerbate, none of this is going to pay out in the long run. It's not going to win them the day the way they want. In the same way that Hitler's dream of a conquered world was never going to work. No one has ever conquered the world, and in all likelihood, no one ever will. It's too big, and there are too many people, and it's too complicated. But in trying, you fall apart. And that's where we are. Yeah, I don't know. You push until it breaks. The true question of how the f*** do we get Dems to detach from Israel and do something? What you need to understand from the depth of your heart, as much as it may hurt, is that any Zionist Dem is worse than almost any non-Zionist anybody in terms of consequential harm. The social and political and military interests that are aligned behind Zionism are so evil, literally world-endingly evil, that support for them, no matter how tepid or half-assed or conditional, is tantamount to supporting the end of the world as we understand it. And there's basically, like, anyone who opposes that is at least, you know, conditionally our ally. It's insane how bad things have gotten. Even Newsom is pivoting? Yes, but he's lying, of course. Yeah, it's a very obvious lie. So Nick Fuentes is conditionally our ally. Nick Fuentes is a degenerate would-be celebrity content creator, grifter, and closet homosexual who is aware of the fact that the Republican Party today is a vessel of Zionist evil. The Democrats are as well. Obviously, there are differences between Democrats and Republicans, but Zionism isn't really one of them. That's not really where the line is for the both of them. What he says is irrelevant to me. What people need to understand is that this coalition of interests is responsible for most of what is wrong with the world today. Much in the same way that racism itself is an Epsteinite ideology, you know? They need to reaffirm the culture war because it keeps us distracted from the real issue, the issue being that they all want to be worth $1 trillion and rape children. You know, you have to stay focused. I'm glad Tallarico won as well. I mean, as bad as things have gotten to this point, like, most Democrats are still not even willing to challenge the underlying premises of this conflict. Because if your only problem with what's happening right now is that the Republicans are lying, or we engage in these strikes without good justification, or whatever else, you know, the real problem is, I mean, everything that has been associated with Israel, all of the lies and justifications, we have slammed all of them down on a wedge issue. You know, the idea that Israel has the right to defend itself. If you believe that Israel has the right to defend itself in the context of the Israeli state as it exists today, one in which they're openly fascistic, warmongering, racist, genocidal, in that context, if you're pointing at that Israel and you're going, that Israel has a right to defend itself, and you justify everything they do, then yeah, of course this was going to happen. Of course this was going to happen. Preventative defense. I believe that is the preferred talking point of the regime at this point, you know? We had to attack Iran because they would have attacked us if Israel attacked them. In fact, I think that's verbatim, yeah. Who was it who said that? That was the line. It was, we had no choice but to attack Iran because after Israel attacked them, they would have attacked us. That was Marco Rubio. Rubio tries to justify attacks in Iran.
In Israeli action, we knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces, and we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties. We would not mind, we would not be heartbroken, and we hope that the Iranian people can overthrow this government and establish a new future for that country. We would love for that to be possible. But the objective of this mission is the destruction of their ballistic missile capabilities and of their naval capabilities.
So that's their line. By the way, like, as crazy as things have gotten, they're actually pushing for it to get worse. Inside reports in the White House indicate that Hegseth is pushing for a ground invasion of Iran, and Marco Rubio is arguing against it. Because Marco Rubio is, of course, more of a traditional neocon, and Hegseth is a, like, end times Christian evangelical psychopath. The pair were at each other's throats while discussing whether or not the U.S. should send troops to Iran at the request of Israel. So the official position of the head of the Department of Defense is that we should deploy boots on the ground into Iran because Israel has asked us to. It's not a joke. This is the timeline we're in. Why doesn't Israel go? Because they think they're better than us? Because it's a ethnically supremacist country where they believe they're the chosen people, and that if we die, it's a fine, but if they die, it's bad. Hegseth supports putting boots on the ground, while Rubio, the Trump administration's top diplomat, is wary of dragging the U.S. into another drawn-out foreign war. A former high-ranking official of the military told the outlet that Rubio is aware the American public may strongly oppose putting U.S. service members in harm's way. Really? He also noted Rubio has been bothered by Hegseth's public remarks in the military operation, which specifically. The president told the New York Post he does not have the yips when it comes to sending Americans to war. I'll translate that for you because I read the actual interview earlier. Donald Trump said to a journalist he doesn't think it's a big deal to send troops to Iran. Not a joke. He said, he essentially said, I don't get it. Why is it such a big deal? I'm not afraid. We're at Warvash. It's too late. We killed the Ayatollah and we torpedoed that ship. It's already too late. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, Iran is probably only going to be more hardline when it finally puts itself together. Whoever ends up taking charge next, and who knows how it's going to play out, but there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of militant, you know, IRGC members or just Islamists in the region who would fight against any boots-on-the-ground incursion, but would also cause trouble in countries like Syria and Iraq and so on. Likely the son of the Ayatollah. I thought they killed the son of the Ayatollah. Did he survive? Other son? Probably has a few. Yeah, I just doubt that our unshakable commitment to defending Israel is going to waver anytime soon. Will Israel fund the extremists secretly like they did to Hamas? Well, we're apparently trying to fund the Kurds into overthrowing the regime. Much as I love the Iranian Kurds and want Kurdistan to be a thing, unfortunately, America and Israel have to lose here. So they have to lose bad. If the Kurds are smart, they'll stay the f*** out of this, you know? Take the CIA money, sell the guns, and buy a nice rug or something. I don't know. Whatever the f***. Whatever you want. But don't. We've betrayed the Kurds like 50 times before. Do not get involved again. I know that you've been mistreated by the regime very, very badly. I feel for you. Now is not the time to be playing the pawn. The Kurds have already told the U.S. to fuck off. They made an announcement today. The Kurds are not hired guns. Nice. We're so bad at our job. I know the line the Iranian people need to overthrow Iran is a hawk line, but if they don't, we're sending troops in. What you guys need to internalize is that this is the future of the Middle East forever now. It doesn't matter whether or not Iran stabilizes. As long as Israel is there, there will be war. This will keep happening over and over and over and over again. What do you think we go, chances we go boots in the ground, actually? I don't know. We'll see if Hegseth gets his way. The U.S. blaming Israel as some great evil forced them to do this is just neo-Nazi propaganda. Well, the fact that Israel is telling us what to do isn't a conspiracy theory. It's been outright stated and confirmed by members of the Trump administration. They have explicitly said that, like Hegseth is explicitly saying, U.S. boots on the ground because Israel asked. I don't know how, like, it's pretty straightforward. It's not that Israel controls America. It's that Israel and America are the same country that are working towards the same set of interests. And there's a bunch of, like, conflicting versions of those interests that they're all trying to fight for. Just one in four Americans favor Trump strikes. Our incursion into Iran is already far less popular than the Iraq war was at its point of least popularity. Like, at no point was the Iraq war ever this unpopular. We literally just had a 9/11. No, the Iraq war lasted many years. Even many years into the Iraq war, it was not this unpopular.